This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's bring in Paul Emmick, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Paul Emmick, our green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how you doing today, man?
Hey, Bill. Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. First thing I got to ask you, look, I know you're a Bucks fan and you pay attention to basketball. Would you pay Chris Middleton 5 years, $38 million a year on average for a max contract?
So I've been watching your Twitter reaction come into your question this morning. So, and I kind of put up my own poll this morning as well. I just kind of got a feeler because, you know, the math that I came back with is if he does go full max, I think you had said 5 years, $190 million. I think my math came in at 5 years, only $183 million, okay? So only maybe $183. But either way, it's a ton of money. Bill, the question that I keep coming back to, and who I defer to people who are smarter than me on this, like Frank Madden, like Eric Name, if the money doesn't go to Middleton, it seems like they don't have the means to then use that money elsewhere just because of the way the NBA cap structure works. So you kind of either let the player walk and don't really replace him, or you retain the player at a price that is going to be scary. So if forced to choose between those two options, because if they got crazy, you know, if they renounced Mirotić and didn't bring back Lopez and didn't bring back Brogdon and didn't bring back Middleton, sure, now you probably have room for a different max player. I know people in the past have tweeted me about, you know, Klay Thompson. I'm sure that opinion has shifted now that, you know, he's out for the next year. We can have pipe dreams about Durant and Kawhi and all these other things, but I think the most realistic path, especially watching the Celtics fall apart over the last week with Kyrie reportedly going to Brooklyn and Al Horford now leaving Boston, I think Kawhi is going to be a Clipper. If you told me to bet on it, I'd say Kawhi is going to be a Clipper. So that means the Raptors take a big step back. So unless like the Nets or somebody like that just goes crazy in free agency and is able to team up Kyrie with somebody else, I think the Bucks' path to the finals, if they bring back mostly the same team, is a fairly easy path if you run back pretty much the same team. So along with the way of saying, because of the alternatives that don't seem to exist, I think the answer is yes. What do you think about that?
I just see the money and I choke because I'm thinking to myself, if I'm getting somebody for that kind of money, I want a player that's going to, you know, be delivering opposite Giannis in the clutch. And Giannis had nobody consistently outside of himself in the postseason to go to that really kind of said, hey, if you don't got this, throw this team on my back, I'll take it. As much as Middleton tried, the crossover dribble wasn't working, the dribble penetration wasn't working, and the three-point shot wasn't working, and he even went down this year in free throw percentage. So why in the hell am I giving him a max contract?
And my other point would just be, what the Bucks don't have right now is the type of salary on their books outside of Giannis, who of course you would never trade, to like, so like let's say Middleton, you know, just doesn't work out, okay, for whatever reason, and you know the Bucks are interested in going in a different direction. Well, just by having that salary on the books, the Middleton salary on the books, you become a really good easy trade partner from a cap perspective with, say, a trade for Kevin Love, or a trade for a Chris Paul, or a trade for a John Wall once he comes back from his ACL injury. So, like, I think there's a cap benefit to having that kind of money there. If the type of players across the league who might become available at that price, it kind of makes it like an easy match. Do you know what I mean? So, like, let's say we fast forward a year and things don't work out in the 2019-2020 season, and the Cavs are looking to move in a new direction with Kevin Love, or the Wizards with Wall, or, you know, whatever the case might be. Like, at least you then have a guy who you can salary match, where it's what the NBA has made it very difficult for GMs to do is to like replace talent that's leaving with different talent, because you can, you know, bird rights and all of these other things that exist. It kind of reminds me, Bill, at a much lesser dollar amount, what year would that have been? Like 8-9 years ago with John Salmons, where it was
right.
Like they gave him this big contract that they lived to regret, but they didn't have the cap space to do something different with that money. So you're almost like rock meet hard place, you know, like you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's like it's a really hard call because you don't have, you know, the means, the cap means to do something different with that money. So I'm okay with putting the money on the books, hoping it works out, of course, and that Chris Middleton plays five terrific years in Milwaukee and, you know, brings, along with Giannis, of course, a championship or two, if I want to get greedy. But at least then, you know, you have somebody that you can spin into a Love or a Paul or a, you know, Wall. And these are just my bad examples. But, so, I mean, again, rock and a hard place, I think you – they're in a place where, you know, and again, they, you know, Bill, we have to also talk about, you have to make Giannis happy, right? And if Giannis loves Chris, and Giannis a year from now was going to be in the same position Anthony Davis was this offseason, you also want to keep Giannis happy. So I think there's like a keep Giannis happy tax that I'm willing to pay, you know, where it's like, I'll give this player more if Giannis really wants to play with him. And it seems like Middleton meets that criteria. So again, I don't say it without trepidation. I don't say it without pause, but you know, given the options on the table and sort of the reality of the NBA salary cap structure, I kind of feel like, you know, that it almost, in a crazy way, makes it an easy, I hate to say easy, makes it an easier decision just because they, you know, there's not like a replacement option easily available if you don't resign him.
Paul, now, real quick, is there somebody, and I know you pay attention to this, is there somebody out there that you covet, you think, you know what, if Middleton walks, here's the person I'd love to see come into this situation?
Well, I mean, having said, like, how difficult it is, I mean, I had pipe dreams of Klay Thompson. Obviously, that's not going to happen for multiple reasons. A, I always thought he was going back to Golden State. B, he's out for the year, for the upcoming regular season. You know, I was talking with a friend last night about DeMarcus Cousins, and I know people have mixed reactions about DeMarcus Cousins, but, I mean, he's a shell of what he used to be, and I think maybe from a monetary perspective, but, you know, Brook Lopez turned out to be a really, really terrific, unbelievably under-the-radar addition last year. And from what I understand, he can really only make $9 million if he does resign with Milwaukee. So that's, you know, a win from a cap perspective. I mean, if I were to be even remotely realistic, like Kawhi, you know, like, yeah, of course. But realistically, man, you know, I was advocating yesterday, Bill, and I got crushed for it. I was advocating for a Chris Paul trade. You know, like if you were to package like Bledsoe, Snell, and Ersan for Chris Paul, people hate me for it. Like, I did not, my Twitter mentions were not very positive yesterday, but I thought that would make sense. But 78% of people on the poll seem to disagree. So, you know, Bill, they're really in a position where, like, I think, like, this is the team, and, you know, you need guys to improve. Like, Giannis needs to get better. Middleton needs to get better. Brogdon, like, you know, the core pieces need to get better. But this isn't like a situation like, where the Jazz today traded for Mike Conley Jr. from Memphis. Like, there's just not, like, the pieces to turn something into a different piece. You know what I mean? So it's
right.
This is what they have, and short of, like, really blowing it up, which why would you do that? You know, this is what you get. You know, this is the group, and this is the group that you almost have to turn into something drastic. This is kind of the group you have to go with, I guess, again, unless, you know, come September 1st when you can execute an Eric Bledsoe trade, and if Chris Paul really does want out of Houston, I'm wondering how hard Joe is rolling his eyes at this suggestion. But
I am.
Yeah. We had talked about that. I'm not a big Chris Paul fan either. So, I mean, I know that there's some people that really think that Chris Paul would be a tremendous addition. I don't know if I would think that Chris Paul would be a better addition than what you have in Malcolm Brogdon.
Oh, no, not Brogdon.
Not Brogdon. I'm sorry, Chris Middleton.
Okay, no, I'm not even saying that. I mean, for me, like, the way I looked at it, Bill, was come September 1st, Bledsoe, being 6 months removed from re-signing, theoretically could be traded. I don't know if that's what the Bucks would obviously want to do. But then you would say, okay, Bledsoe, in his new four-year contract, plus Ersan, plus Snell, the combination of those three salaries equals Chris Paul's annual salary. So you could pull off that 3-for-1 from a mass cap perspective. Does that make the Bucks better or worse? You know, I guess that would be up for argument. But, I mean, I would say, you know, yeah, for me, it's like...
If you're keeping pretty much of that core together and getting rid of those contracts and then adding a guy like Chris Paul, I could swallow that.
That's where I'm at. That's,
okay.
I mean, Chris Paul has, I mean, it's hard. This is a really hard one to swallow. 3 years, $124 million
I know,
left
right?
on his contract. And he's a point guard in his mid to late 30s, so it's hard. But, again, it's like if you told me I could have 3 years of Chris Paul, Giannis, Middleton, Brooke Lopez, and Malcolm Brogdon as my starting five, you can't tell me that team, at the very least, doesn't get out of the East. Like, and I know Chris Paul is a shell of his former self in his early 20s and mid-20s, but, yeah, I know that people are going to hate the suggestion because it didn't go over well last night on Twitter. But, I believe that you're a better team with Chris Paul in that scenario than you are with the trio of, you know, say, Bledsoe, Ersan, and Snell. But again, that would only be under the premise that Middleton is back, Brogdon is back, Lopez is back, and sure, maybe you let Mirotić walk, but, you know, it's like the same team, except subbing in Paul for Bledsoe. And
right.
For me, that's a pretty, you know, I think, productive swap, but I'm apparently in the minority there.
Well, Paul, my whole thing is this. That's a lot of money for Chris Paul.
Oh, it is.
The first thing is, number one, can the guy stay healthy? Number two, would he be happy to play in Milwaukee should the Rockets decide to trade him here? I mean, would he like to be here? Because I don't get the impression Chris Paul would want to play here, which means that Giannis, the coaching staff, they have to convince him that this is a good team to play for, and this is a good foundation. The other thing is you have to tell Chris Paul, hey, buddy, you're not the guy on this team. You're not even the number two guy on this team. You're more like
sure.
the number three or number four guy. Can Chris Paul accept that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, but I think the biggest thing that I was reading yesterday was Chris Paul wants a ring. And, you know, if you were to survey the East, and maybe even survey the West. I mean, short of going to the Lakers and teaming up with LeBron and Anthony Davis, which he can't do because the Lakers don't have the salaries to match a trade. But, like, what – seriously, like, if you were a 34-year-old point guard who had never won at all and you want to go win a ring, tell me a team right now, other than maybe the Lakers, that you wouldn't go to Toronto because Kyle Lowry's the starting point guard there. But, like, tell me a team that would give you a 34-year-old veteran point guard – a better chance to win a title than the Bucks. No? I mean, am I too close to the situation to, like, think
No,
that,
no,
you know?
I think if you're a Bucks fan, and as John Horst had said, that they're committed to, you know, being able to pay whomever, and even if he kind of insinuated that if indeed it took to go over the luxury tax to get there, they would do it. But the argument to this is you got to go for whatever it is now. But you would also like this team to sustain as a core group for a while, so all you
Absolutely.
Have to do is kind of have some interchangeable pieces. You don't want to strap yourself with some massive contracts that are going to be long-term deals and are going to be albatrosses for you to try to get rid of when you really need to make a move. So I think this is a huge offseason for the Milwaukee Bucks. It's a real fine line that they have to walk. Paul, you got time to hold?
Sure, yeah, why not?
We haven't talked to any Packers. That's what we're having you on for. We got into this whole Bucks discussion. We're already really, really late. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Glad you are here today. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends over at Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs, they want to remind you that they've got a new addition. Really, it's kind of something we've talked about before, but it's still relatively new. As they continue the center of the Cousin Subs heart menu, it's Wisconsin cheeses, cheese curds, and now they've got creamy mac and cheese. Featuring shredded Parmesan, shredded white cheddar cheese, now available at select locations. You can order as a compliment to your favorite sub, maybe a kid's meal even. Top it with bacon, chicken, ham, turkey, all kinds of good stuff. Order online, my friends. Go to CousinSubs.com, and delivery is available at select locations. That's Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. The official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We're sitting here talking with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst. And, Paul, we got a little off track, obviously talking a lot of Bucks basketball. So with 6-7 minutes to go here, I wanted to get into some Packers. We were talking with Andy Benoit and Aaron Nagler earlier today. Andy Benoit specifically said, look, he's kind of in the camp of let's wait and see, that there's going to be a lot of movement, a lot of action, a lot of one or the other type of situations in which Aaron Rodgers is going to have the ability maybe to go, not call one play, but to call the other play, but something that's within the design of the offense that can make this thing go. So my question is, first of all, how much do you think, how happy do you think Aaron Rodgers is really going to be with his offense?
If they win, very happy.
Right.
If they lose, maybe not so much. That's sort of where we're at right now. And I think where this, as I call it, like a tug of war, as it gets sort of solved, as it gets worked out, if they start 4-1, I don't think LaFleur or Rodgers will care exactly how it nets out. I just think there's a bit of a slippery slope there, where if Rodgers gets a lot of leash early on, can LaFleur ever get that back, you know? And so my, like, advice, if I was sitting in, like, Mark Murphy's chair, was, you know, can we just do what the coach wants for a few games and, like, let's see how it goes, let's give it a fair shake.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then if we have to create other, you know, checks and audibles and more line of scrimmage stuff, well, then maybe we do that as the season goes on. So it is a wait and see, and winning would cure all if it were to happen, just like I think losing would turn into, you know, maybe a negative situation quickly. I think they'll work it out, Bill, but, you know, again, I just would like, if I was, you know, if I could kind of dictate the situation, I would want Rodgers to defer to the system, at least initially, and then if you have to adjust. But that's how I would like to see it play out personally, and I think what would work best. But again, you have the highest paid person in the league. You know, it's like when the quarterback makes, I don't know what LaFleur's salary is, I would venture to guess Rodgers is making 9 times what his coach is, then who really holds the power, right?
Right.
Probably the quarterback with making the crazy money. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough balance, and certainly probably the biggest challenge for first-year head coach Matt LaFleur, I think that's for sure.
We talked about the defense, and I think the defense is going to be dramatically better. I am right now, after absorbing all of this the last few days, and you and I talked about this the other day, I'm of the sense that I think all is right now. Maybe I'm looking at it through green and gold glasses, but they haven't put on pads yet. You know, I mean, there's a lot of talk and a lot of conjecture and a lot of speculation, and I think people are either one trying to avoid heartbreak by creating a train wreck, or people are on the opposite side going, things are fine, don't worry about it. You know, it's not easy for a rookie head coach to take over a team, even though they do have a tremendously talented quarterback, and all of a sudden just vault them back into the postseason after the season that they had. But let's be honest, this team was maybe 5 plays away from actually ending up in the postseason, so it wouldn't surprise me to see them back there.
Yeah, and, you know, I always try to take a step back. And, like, had we been covering Cleveland Browns football for the past 10 years, like, it's easy now at this point to jump aboard, like, the hype train, and, you know, because we see all these moves, but we're not there at camp, you know, we're not there to kind of see the way it's going to play out. But from afar, it just looks really, like, you know, like, great on paper. So I kind of take that same step back with the Packers, because I always wonder to myself, why does the national media, I heard Mike Silver, who of course wrote the Rodgers LaFleur piece, I heard his interview when he was on in Milwaukee on the Big Show on 105.7 FM The Fan. And I always hear guys like him from the national media speak so, like, lovingly and glowingly about, you know, the offense and about Rodgers. And so I sometimes think, like, either they're not close enough to really see what's going on, or we are too close to take, like, a good enough perspective on it, because we see too much. You know, we almost become maybe jaded to, like, the Rodgers greatness or to the offense or whatever the case might be. So, yeah, I mean, like, I don't think it's a green and gold glasses type of thing. Like, if, you know, it was only a month or so ago that I told you about a post-draft power rankings at CBS Sports where the Packers were number 2. And, like, I mean, nationally, they look at it and they say, it's Rodgers. It's Devontae Adams. It's the best left tackle in football. You know, it's a new head coach, but, you know, they needed to move on from McCarthy, so let's see what they do. And I think this defense is the best it's been in a long time under Mike Pettine, and all of these positives. So that's, you know, I don't think we are being, you know, like, overly green and goldy to say, like, I think the team on paper is set up very well, and if LaFleur can get it to come together, you know, obviously more power to him. But I don't think you're being, you know, over the top. I think this should shape up to be, if Rodgers returns to being Rodgers, you know, not a lost season, a season that, for me, anything short of a playoff run is a disappointment. They should at least be setting making the playoffs as the absolute, like, basement of how low they should have their expectations set. So I'm there with you, man.
Yeah, I think there's so many eyes after what went on this offseason. People have an angst towards Mark Murphy, and does he have too much control, and Gutekunst, is he the right guy, and the coaching staff. And I think there's a lot of, you know, just agitation right now, or maybe anxiety right now might be a better word. And I'm just kind of sitting back going, I think they're going to be a pretty good team. I think they've made some pretty good moves, and barring a lot of big-time injuries to one or two, three specific groups, I think they're going to be okay. You know, and I think the quarterback's rejuvenated. He seems to be happier, and I'm kind of feeling good about the situation. Well, a lot of people have a lot of anxiety about it, you know?
I feel like I've brought you around. I feel like I've been more of like the captain positive over the recent
months. Maybe you're the calming in. You are my lavender in my studio.
I'm here for you, man.
Okay.
That's part of the role.
All right, Paul, we'll find out if Chris Paul is going to be a Buck, and we'll find out if this Green Bay Packers team can win in the next 6 weeks. So we'll talk to you then, okay?
All right.
Talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Thanks, Paul. See you. Paul Emig doing a couple of segments with us because we got way, way sidetracked, but he's our green and gold analyst. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been doing it. Call them, 844-PRIDE, go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.